एमत्ता फारुद्वारा आगे पतयात सकला शोधिलता हाके वाणी बेकात. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. We are continuing the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yes. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nibriti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. In this verse, Srila Prabhupada has presented to the world an extensive, enlightening purport on the meaning that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed through the cleansing of Gundicha Temple. Srila Prabhupada ends the purport with a very illuminating sentence. Thus, the cleansing of Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed, to receive Lord Sri Krishna, and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. Due to uncountable lifetimes within material existence, we are very deeply conditioned to conceive of ourselves to be the enjoyer, to calculate the well-being of the world very much around how we are doing. When we put ourselves in the center of what is valued to be good or happy, we continue the bondage of the cycle of karma. The idea of devotional service is truly the essence of all spirituality. Devotional service means service with devotion. It's very simple. We speak it every day, but it's the most profound and difficult to realize concept, to serve with devotion. It really means to utterly give of oneself for the happiness and the pleasure of another. Sarva dharma parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye samimasucha. Conclusion of Gita: abandon all varieties of religion, all occupational duties, and just surrender to me with faith that I shall deliver you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So to surrender to Krishna in a very preliminary state means to do what Krishna wants. That's hard enough. Satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantas chatritavrita. Bow down to me, chant my holy names always. And of course, Tadvidhi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya upatekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatvadarshana. To know what Krishna wants is only possible when we have a spiritual master who is in the line of disciplic succession, completely surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord, repeating not only the words, but the will of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada has instructed us, the most basic instructions he has given us is to act on the platform that you are not this body, that you are the eternal soul. And preliminarily, that means to follow the four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Because these bodily activities, born of the false ego, incriminate the soul in so much karmic bondage. And we chant the holy names. Prabhupada asked us to vow to chant at least 16 malas or rounds each day. Because if we're eternal, if we're not this body, if we're the servant of Krishna, to follow Krishna's most important of all instructions, to chant his name, is vital, essential for our spiritual purification. But beyond that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here explaining how we must go deeper and deeper and cleansing more and more thoroughly this heart so that we can actually realize the meaning of devotional service. That we are not the enjoyer. We're not the center. Our happiness is not in acquiring something for myself. Our happiness is in giving to Krishna. Our happiness is not in being glorified. Our happiness is in glorifying Krishna. Our happiness is not in trying to be happy. Our happiness is in trying to give Krishna happiness. That is devotional service. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagatisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahaiti kitvai. Lord Chaitanya taught in this way. What is his aspiration? I do not want wealth. How people are struggling for wealth. Just the other day, Swavas Prabhu was giving me a good lesson, repeating Prabhupada. Pa, pa, bha, bha, ma. This is... Apavarga means free from all of these things. Prabhupada explains, we are struggling and striving, foaming at the mouth to acquire various facilities for sense gratification. How the world is mad for money. Why? Because money gives the illusory promise that it can facilitate happiness. If you have nice clothes and nice food and nice house and nice furniture and nice electronics and you have nice ways of transportation, and then of course, you know, people will admire you. And then you will get certain praise and respect. And you will be happy. Yes? So how people are working with this idea. Here in Los Angeles, there's traffic jams almost all day. Yes? I remember when I was a small boy, the traffic jams would begin about 5 and end about 6:15. But now they begin about 3 and end about... In Bombay, I've seen they begin about 2:30 in the afternoon and end about midnight. And what do these traffic jams mean? Everybody is just struggling so hard to gain wealth. Yes? Trains and planes and roads. Just somehow or other. Prabhupada explains, in previous times, within a 5 to 10 minute walk, everyone would have their occupation. But now we have to travel sometimes hours every day just to somehow or other make a living. And there's so much worry and so much anxiety. The poor people are anxiety about losing their jobs. Of course, many of them already lost it. They're worried about how they'll ever get another one. And the people who are wealthy are always anxiety about somehow or other maintaining their wealth, keeping it from being usurped, from being defeated. And they're always in anxiety to get more. So there's always anxiety, this foaming of the mouth anxiety, trying to get more and more and more and more with the promise of happiness. But what a profound statement. Nadanam. That's it. The whole darkness of material existence is practically dissipated with these two words. Nadanam. I don't want wealth. I know it won't make me happy. Najanam. Nasundarim. I don't want the association of the beauty of the opposite sex. Here in Los Angeles, really, material nature is very much magnified here. Yes? All over the world, they are mad after the contributions of Hollywood. Yes? Even in Bombay, they have named their city Bollywood, which means the Bombay version of Hollywood. And they're competing. They actually make far more films than Hollywood, Bollywood. I don't know if the quality is the same. I've never seen them, but in quantity they have surpassed. And the influence is so powerful. Recently, I was in Italy, in Venice. And while in Venice, this one man, his name is Sri Adwaita Prabhu. He was the government tour guide for VIPs from all over the world. That means when a very important person would come to Venice, and many important people from all over the world come to Venice, because it's a very historical, famous place for its architecture, for its culture, and so forth. He was assigned to pick them up at airport and drive them around and show them the places and bring them to the restaurants and everything. So only the very, very topmost respected dignitaries were given to him. And he said most of them were entertainers from Hollywood. To be government officials and everything, if he wasn't busy with the Hollywood people, they would give to him. Otherwise, they'd give to a secondary person. So these people are very, very powerful, influential within the world, no doubt. And most of what they do, from what I understand, is romantic affairs. Yes, beautiful man, beautiful woman, handsome man. And that sets the stage for what people aspire for or long for. Srila Prabhupada gives example. It's not that it goes away with age. Sometimes devotees think like that. When I get old, then it won't be so difficult. Harivo. You have to strive to cleanse your heart of these desires. Prabhupada gives example of that old king and his minister told him that these desires will not go away with old age. You have to actually very, very carefully, you know, take shelter of the Lord to remove them. He said, how in old age can still have these desires? He said, come with me and bring your beautiful young daughter also. So they went into the room of a man who was really old. He was at the last stage where he was about to die of old age, invalidity, and disease. So they went into the room of this emaciated, dying old man. And the man, immediately his eyes just gazed upon the king's daughter. He didn't even offer proper respect to the king. And the king said to his minister, you are correct. It doesn't go away naturally. It has to be cleansed from the heart. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a revolutionary statement. Na danam na janam na sundarim. I don't want the pleasures of the opposite sex. Kavitam vajagadisha kamaye. I don't even want to be a great scholar, known for my poetic presentations to the world. In spiritual circles, this is sometimes a very deep-seated anartha. You see, dharmasya hivavargasya naratatayopakalpate naratasya dharmikantasya kamo labayi smrita. That even the benefits of devotional service, the facilities that we gain, the empowerments that we get from devotional service, can sometimes become an obstacle if we're not very, very careful. That's what Lord Chaitanya is talking about in this chapter, that when you water the seed of devotion, weeds start growing too. And they're also sometimes nourished by our practice. Sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness and, you know, they're VIPs. They're very insignificant people. Or sometimes they're VIPs and very ignorant people. But then they study the shastras and they chant the names and they perform the austerities of the regulative principles and they actually get power. They become very important persons, very illustrious persons. And soon, you know, somebody who was just an ordinary old citizen, people are chanting the names of that person and touching the feet of that person. Now all of a sudden this person, not all of a sudden, but gradually can defeat all opposition and argument and logic and can quote shastras for every particular subject. And with this scholarship, vast learning, deep insight, ability to mesmerize people by one's words, one can get proud. This is a big stumbling block. It's coming through the process of bhakti. We're becoming empowered by Krishna. We're becoming instrumental of Krishna's mercy. But as soon as we even for a second think that this knowledge is mine, this influence is mine, then the weed of false pride begins to grow within the heart. And we know what happens. When there is pride, that we think that we're better than anybody for any other reason, whether we're more austere, or we're more learned, or we're more advanced, or we're more expert, then our fall down has already begun. We have to be very, very careful. So this is one of the great stumbling blocks in the path of bhakti. That the facilities that we gain as far as our strengths, our knowledge, our influence over others, if it causes the weeds to grow and we become proud, then inevitably you have to make aparads, you have to make offenses. And then we are potentially victims of maya. So Lord Chaitanya says, Kavitamba, I don't want to be a great scholar or poet. I don't even want liberation from suffering. Salvation is something that people really strive for. Of course, when you're suffering, to turn to God for salvation is at least a beginning point. It's better than thinking that the doctors or the psychologists or psychologists, or it's better than thinking that some, you know, organization that's going to give seminars and make you feel like a more holistic being. And it's, you know, they may or may not be able to help to some extent, but they're not going to solve the problem. The danger with taking shelter of, we shouldn't take shelter of any of these things. We may be, if it's actually favorable for devotional service, use certain things as tools, like doctors and medicine and whatever, for the mind, for the body. But one of the great obstacles that we see is sometimes people put more faith in these things than they do in Krishna for resolving problems. And little by little, when you start putting more faith in some material solution, at the beginning, sometimes the illusion is there that it's making me a better devotee. It's making me more Krishna conscious. I remember one devotee was going to this one, some type of seminar organization where they were teaching you how to be holistic and have good relationships and all of these things and to feel good about yourself, which is nice, and was telling so many other devotees that this is making me a better devotee, it's making me a better Vaishnav servant of all others, it's making me love Krishna more, I've never felt so Krishna conscious. So many people were following in his footsteps and taking these courses and paying a lot of money, too. And I'll never forget, a couple years down the line, he called me and said, I have come to such a liberated state of inner satisfaction that it just doesn't matter to me anymore whether Krishna's God or whether there is a God or not. Haribo. That's liberation. So when you put your faith in people who don't have faith, it could be very dangerous. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is explaining that I don't want to be a gate scholar with influence. I don't even want liberation. Yes, we need some relief. We need some happiness to carry on with our Krishna consciousness. But really, we have to understand where that happiness is going to come from. Real happiness. Not happiness that will distract us, but happiness that will bring us closer and closer and closer to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya didn't even ask for elevation to the spiritual world. He said, the only benediction, the only thing I want is birth after birth after birth after birth. Allow me to be your servant unconditionally. And through his devotees, he also taught the same lesson. Murari Gupta was asked any benediction. This morning, Suvas Prabhu was discussing Murari Gupta in his reading. He was a doctor. Lord Chaitanya used to harass him when he was Nimai Pandit. He would say, Murari, what are you doing coming here and studying all these shastras? You're a doctor. He said, you're not going to find in these holy scriptures the lessons about how to use leaves and herbs and twigs to resolve the problem of mucus, bile, and air. Murari Gupta was a great personality. And Lord Chaitanya revealed his greatness when he offered him any benediction in all of existence. And Murari Gupta only asked for one thing. That let me always be in the association of your devotees and let me always glorify your holy names. It was all he wanted. And then he called Haridas Thakur, offered him any benediction. Haridas refused. But the Lord said, you must ask, you must ask. All right, if you want to give me a benediction, if it will make you happy, then give me this benediction. In every birth I take, grant me the supreme boon of attaining the remnants from the plates of your devotees. Can you imagine what he prayed for? He said, let me be an insect or a dog near the house of your devotees so I can regularly attain the remnants of their food. And then Haridas became very embarrassed. He said, actually, my Lord, I have no right to ask for such an exalted blessing as this. But because I am shameless, I am asking anyway, because this is the only aspiration of my life. And Kolavecha Sridhar, very, very poverty-stricken, poor person, when he was asked for any benediction, Prabhupada explains here in Chaitanya Charitamrita what he asked for. Only one thing. To always remember Lord Chaitanya, taking his banana leaves away. And birth after birth after birth, to have the most auspicious and aspired for position, which is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So these things are of value. And that is why it is so very important to regularly hear about these great personalities who aspire for this. Nasta prayesha bhadresu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. We should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and serve those persons who are living by the Bhagavatam. Through this process, Krishna reveals himself within our heart. Dharma krojita kaita patra parama niramatsaranam satam. The speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam is it only speaks about pure unalloyed devotion. It disregards all lesser processes of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and even liberation. These things certainly can be used in Krishna's service, but they are not goals. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the exclusive goal is unalloyed bhakti. Every story culminates in that. Yes, therefore, Lord Chaitanya taught from the Bhagavatam itself, Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. It is the spotless Purana. Vedavyas wrote, he compiled Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, Sama Veda, 108 Upanishads, and then the supplementary Upanishads, the Mahabharata, the Itihastas, the Puranas, the Vedanta Sutra. And at Badrika Ashram, sitting on the bank of Saraswati River, he was feeling unhappy in heart. Why? Paratukatuki? Because a great person's happiness is in others' happiness. And a great person's distress is to see other people in distress. So he gave the most vast library of scriptures that has ever been. And it's the basis of all other scriptures that were to come throughout various parts of the world. But he wasn't happy. Krishna sent Narada Muni to tell him why. That all of your scriptures are mixed. You're teaching the essence, which is unalloyed, unconditional love for Krishna. But there's so many other things mixed in. Glorify Krishna's eternal transcendental pastimes when he descends in this world. And describe the exclusive purpose of life, which is unconditional love. And on this basis, he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. In every story, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, any syllable of Bhagavatam, if it is realized, will bring one the ultimate goal. Because it's nothing but devotional service. That's what we should aspire for. By associating with these personalities like the Pandavas. Or Kunti Devi, their mother. Simple lady. What is that beautiful verse? Tvayi menanya vishaya matir madhupate sukrit. Ratim udvata ahtad adha gange vogam udanvati. Kunti prayed like this. Profound. Everything is in this one sloka. She says to Krishna, O Lord of Madhu, as the river Ganges flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction forever flow toward you without being diverted to anything or anyone else. That is exclusive devotion. And then there is the story of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Prachetas, Ambarish Maharaj. Every story of the Bhagavatam culminates in pure devotion. I remember I was in some state of confusion when the ninth canto came out. And there is that story of King Pururava. Yes, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But in essence, King Pururava fell in love with Uravasi, who was a very beautiful heavenly lady. And he performed such incredible acts to somehow, actually she came and seduced him. And he fell into that net of enchantment and became so much very, very attached. Because that's the nature of material existence, that the more something gives you pleasure, the more you become attached to it, and the more you become attached to something, the more painful it is when you lose it. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha jonaya eva te atyanta vanta konte anate shuramate buddha. Krishna tells, what is intelligent? We're thinking intelligent means good managerial capacity or getting MA or PhD in a good college. But actually intelligence means to understand how the pleasures of this world are sources of misery, and to not to participate in that whole process of trying to be happy through the temporary senses and their objects. Why? Because they have a beginning and an end. So yes, King Pururava attained such a goal of Urvasi. Have any of you ever seen Urvasi? She's heavenly damsel. And she's so enchanting in her qualities and her dancing and her beauty and her personality that Indra was miserable in the heavenly planets without her. So he somehow or other convinced her to come back, and King Pururava made one little mistake. He actually made the mistake in his attempt to serve her and please her. He just one little technicality was forgotten, and she left him. And oh, Pururava, so many slokas of Bhagavatam is describing, oh, how he suffered. Even though he was king of the world, he couldn't function. All he could do was roam around the planet looking for her in total anguish. Or as they say here in the West, he had the blues. He was singing the blues and living the blues. He would have really had a hit record if he was to sing about... Well, he did. He was singing in the Bhagavatam about his miseries. And ultimately, he just started performing all kinds of yajnas and tapasyas and everything with the exclusive intent of getting her back. And then he gets her back. And he gets to live in a heavenly planet. He gets to live in a heavenly planet with Urvasi. And that's the end of the story. So as a brahmachari, I was thinking, what does this have to do with Amalam Puranam and Dharma Prochita Kaivavais? That's how it ends. That he's in the heavenly planets enjoying like anything. But then in the 11th canto, Krishna tells Uddhava the conclusion of the story. Just some little suspense in between. Well, he becomes completely burnt out and frustrated. And in that state, he sings a song of total surrender to Krishna. How nothing in this material universal creation can make us happy. All our pleasures are just putting fuel in the fire of our discontent. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personification of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here in this beautiful chapter, he's teaching us that the heart should be so clean of all of these weeds, of all of the dust and sand and dirt and straw of material attachments and egoistic pursuits. Why? Because in that state, when the heart is like very cool, fresh, clean marble, then Krishna can sit in our heart without any disturbance. There's one story, I'll end real soon. Lord Chaitanya, he was invited to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house for prasad. Sarvabhauma and his wife were so much eager to serve the Lord to make him happy. That was their goal, to make him happy. So they cooked. When Lord Chaitanya, he was just invited that morning, when he saw the preparations, he said, "How is this possible? You just invited me this morning. It would take 10 Brahmins, 10 hours to cook this. Yes? But the two of you have done just a couple hours." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, we didn't do anything. The person who it was meant for is the person who did it all. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would not take any credit for anything. Ultimately, whatever devotional service we do, Prabhupada explained, it's like taking water from Ganga and offering it back to Ganga. Should we be proud? Oh, Ganga, by my great kindness, by my benevolence, I'm giving you this water. What a God. There's hundreds of trillions of gallons of Ganga water within her own possession. We're just taking some and offering it back. But patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. If we just take a little water from Krishna and offer it back to Krishna, then he's happy with that sincerity of devotion. So Lord Chaitanya was taking prasad, and every time he'd eat just a little part of a bowl, Sarvabhauma would come and fill it back up again. He was really determined that Lord Chaitanya enjoy. But meanwhile, while he was doing that, he was holding a stick. Who remembers why? Amoga. Who was Amoga? Amoga was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law. And he was an envious person. He was one of those persons that within his heart, he hated to see anybody else successful. He hated to see anybody else enjoying. This is a demoniac mentality. He hated seeing anybody else more recognized and respected than himself. And he was a Brahmin. But he couldn't tolerate how people worshipped and honored Lord Chaitanya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is practically out of his love forcing Lord Chaitanya to eat more and more. And Lord Chaitanya, just to reciprocate with his love, is eating a lot. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is very ecstatic, and he sees another plate is getting empty. He runs into the kitchen and his wife fills up the bowl and he comes back out. But while he was away, Amoga ran into the room. He just took the opportunity. When the cat is away, the mice will play. He just ran into the room and started screaming out, "Ha! You call yourself sannyasi? Look at how you are eating too much. So much attached to sense gratification and fulfilling the desires of your tongue. Ha ha ha! Shameful, shameful." And Lord Chaitanya is just sitting there. Didn't say anything. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard every word and picked up a stick and came running out to beat his son-in-law. And his son-in-law just ran. And Sarvabhauma ran after him, but he's old, his son-in-law is young, he got away. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and meanwhile, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife, I don't remember her name, I'm sorry, I don't think it says her name, it just says she's the mother of Sati, who's her daughter. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife was hitting her heart like this, saying, "May my daughter become a widow." They were not happy with their son-in-law on that day. And Sarvabhauma couldn't catch him. So ultimately, Sarvabhauma came and he was praying to Lord Chaitanya, "Please forgive." Lord Chaitanya said, "No, no, no problem. It's not a problem, really. Just give me more prasad. I'll be happy. You'll be happy." So the Lord wanted to make him happy by eating more. The next day, Amoga got, do you remember which disease? Cholera. Have any of you ever had cholera? Very deadly disease. I remember in 1970, I was hitchhiking through Turkey, and the biggest cholera epidemic of the century was raging there. And there were thousands of people just screaming and moaning and dying of this horrible disease. Really horrible disease. In fact, I don't know still today, but in those days when people traveled in the early 70s, late 60s, when you travel to other countries, they usually require that you get a cholera immunization injection. Terrible disease. So he got cholera. and the immediate effects. He was on his deathbed within a day. And Lord Chaitanya heard about it and came to the house. And he came before Amoga, who was just on the verge of a miserable, painful death. Now, the reason I tell this story is for the words that Lord Chaitanya spoke to him. He said to Amoga, "You are a Brahmin. Your heart is meant to be a place for Krishna to very pleasingly be seated. How have you allowed this envy to pollute and contaminate your heart?" And he put his hand over the heart of Amoga. "The heart is meant to be a place for Krishna to happily reside. How have you allowed this envy to pollute your heart?" In one sense, that's the message for every single one of us, is it not? Spiritually, we're dying because we have allowed this disease of envy to come into our heart. But actually, the heart is the abode of the Lord. It's meant to be a completely pure and clean place where Krishna could live and be happy without disturbance. And when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. When Krishna is happy, we become happy. If Krishna is not happy within our heart, then there's no possibility of finding meaning or fulfillment in life. Not inside. We can get some mental fulfillment, sensual fulfillment, but not from the heart, where real happiness is. It's the only place we could really find happiness is within the heart. So this envy has polluted your heart. That is what Lord Chaitanya is telling the world. Rise, Amoga, and chant the holy names. And Amoga, in that desperate condition, actually took the Lord's instruction very seriously. And he rose and chanted the holy names. And by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, he impelled Amoga to chant with such sincerity that his heart was completely cleansed. He became purified. And then he could see the world as it is. And he was very, very much shameful and humbled by his envious behavior of the past. And with his hand, he started beating his mouth. Haribo. That my mouth blasphemed Lord Chaitanya, the Lord of my heart, who has saved me and given me the highest bliss. I blasphemed him. He was beating his mouth. And Lord Chaitanya had to stop him. He said, no need. Just chant the holy names. You are no longer subjected to the sins of your past. In fact, one Brahmin approached Lord Chaitanya in Kulia, Navadvip, and said, "With my mouth I have blasphemed you, I have blasphemed your devotee. What should I do?" Lord Chaitanya said, "If you take poison with your mouth, it will cause you very much suffering and death. But if you drink nectar with the same mouth, it will neutralize all the effects of the poison and give you eternal life." So with the same mouth that we have spoken so much unnecessary, unwanted vibration, chant the glories of Krishna and chant the glories of his devotees, and you will attain perfection. So Amoga was delivered. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a little disappointed to see this. He said to Lord Chaitanya, "After he blasphemed you, why did you save him and give him love of God? Why didn't you let him die?" He actually asked that question. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Because he's related to you. Because he's related to you, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, naturally Krishna has to give him the highest benediction." And this is another important lesson. that if we just become somehow or other dear to a Vaishnava, then Krishna will give us very, very special mercy. When a Vaishnava gives us affection, we should understand it is Krishna's affection coming through that devotee. And there are so many examples. Even the very sinful Malecha washerman of Srivas Thakur attained perfection just by seeing Lord Chaitanya dance for a moment. Why? Because Srivas Thakur was affectionate toward him. Srivas Thakur's maidservant, Duki, became Suki. She became eternally, blissfully happy in perfection of life. What was her qualification? She was dear to a Vaishnava. And she wanted to just be in the background and do some service for the Vaishnavas. So yes, if our motivation is sincere, servant of the servant of the servant, then the Lord will take special interest to help us in every way to purify the heart. So this is the essence of what Srila Prabhupada is telling in this purport. That the cleansing of the Gundicha temple is to clean the temple of the heart. And the most important considerations, first of all, there must be knowledge. We must understand what is dirt and what is cleanliness. Yes? Materialistic consciousness, we're thinking that dirt is pure. Huh? We're thinking that the things that are impure are pure. What is religion is taken to be irreligion, and what is irreligion is taken to be religion. People cultivate lust and envy and anger and greed and pride and illusion, thinking they're good, they'll make us happy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us so much transcendental knowledge so that we can always discriminate what is sacred and what is an impediment, an obstacle. And to strive to clean these anartas, these obstacles from our hearts. That is what Krishna consciousness is about. It's not just the external forms of what we do, but it's how we do it. With the aspiration to actually clean our heart. We shouldn't do our service with the idea I will get a high position and prestige and facilities. Because prestige and facilities for selfish enjoyment are anartas. They're the very things we're trying to get rid of. Our service is to get rid of these things, not to just get them in another name. We have to really want to purify our heart. We have to strive, hearing and chanting and becoming dear to the Vaishnavas. This is the simple process Lord Chaitanya gave. It's so simple. Just be dear to the Vaishnavas in their association, by your service. Chant the holy names and hear Srimad Bhagavatam and other such scriptures. So simple. Cleanse the heart. And make it a place where Lord Jagannath will manifest his beautiful, smiling face. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.